hot water is no playground for a frog.
Jack and little Frida are trapped in a desert palace. All around them are hungry, sand-dwelling Rakshasas. Attempting to escape, the two climb to the top of a tower, where they now sit high above the moon-washed desert floor, while thousands of glittering eyes hungrily watch from far below.
Hey, it's getting a little breezy up here.
Enjoy it, Jacko.
Yeah, I feel like I'm perched on the end of a flagpole.
I don't think this desert goes very far.
Yeah, why do you say that?
See way over there? It's not the same.
Really?
Maybe if I got a little higher, I could see.
Well, you could stand on my shoulders, but I don't think that'd help much.
I'll just levitate a little.
Yeah? Is that safe? With those creatures down there?
It'll be a cinch. Can I have another cigar?
Huh? Oh, sure. Here.
Perfecto. You know, Jack, there's lots of stuff you can do here.
Here?
On this realm.
Oh, yeah. You mean like run for your life.
You don't have to pretend to be yourself.
What?
Remember you told me about the unicorn touching your heart?
Yes.
Why didn't it touch you? Why are you still you?
Why haven't I changed? I don't know. I guess I'm not ready.
Well, I'm ready.
For what?
To levitate.
Oh, right.
So.
How do you levitate?
Oh, I just eat light.
You eat light?
A bike.
Can you see anything?
The wind is picking up.
Yeah, I think a storm is coming.
It looks like the tops of trees.
Trees, you mean there's a forest beyond the desert?
Yeah, or maybe it's an ocean. It's one of those.
Wow. Hey, the wind here is getting really strong. Little Frida, you better come back. Come on.
I can't.
What?
The wind's got me.
Frida, little Frida, come here.
I'm being blown away.
Frida! Oh. Wow. There she goes. Sitting cross-legged, smoking a big Havana, sailing out across the desert with her pigtails streaming out behind her. Wow. The wind is swaying this tower like crazy.
And look at those nasty little Rakshasas down below. As the gusts of wind sway Jack back and forth, bringing the top of the tower closer and closer to the ground, those little devils are swarming over each other, reaching up as though saying... As Mojo made his way back from the maze, he could hear Madama Maltapazzo, the insufferable soprano, singing away somewhere inside the walls of Inverness.
Chief, you must stop that woman.
I say we call pest control.
Mojo... You have no shoes.
Somebody stole my sandals. They left this plate of cookies.
Cookies? May I?
Of course.
Oatmeal raisin.
Where's Wham Bam?
He's in the kitchen.
Thanks.
Lady Pompon, would you like a cookie?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Madam Trunk Nose.
You're welcome.
Meanwhile, Jack is swaying back and forth on the tip of an extremely tall and thin tower that is now bending over so far in the wind, the little devils are trying to climb aboard as it dips closer and closer to the ground. A fierce gust catches the tower and bends it so low, two of the little fiends sink their claws into the parapet as the tower snaps back.
Oh, no, you don't.
Jack grabs the oar and whacks them clean off the tower. But another gust and the tip of the tower bends back, almost touching the ground, as a dozen little devils climb aboard. But when the tower snaps back, three of the little fiends go flying as though catapulted across the desert. And now the others are crawling over each other to reach Jack. He swings his mighty oar, sweeping off one or two with every swipe. But one has sunk its teeth into the end of his oar and is now crawling up the handle. The added weight only gives the ore more oomph as Jack bops and bats the remaining little nasties off the tip of the tower. Except for the last one. That one is now crawling up the handle and is about to sink its chompers into Jack's fingers. He swings the oar and lets it go as it sails out across the desert, little devil and all.
That took care of that.
There's another violent gust of wind, and the tower is bending back again, when off in the distance, carried by the wind, Jack sees something large flapping through the sky.
Oh, it's two silver swans. Hey, swans, over here.
The swans give a cheerful honk and continue on their merry way.
Well, same to you guys.
Oh, man, that smells good.
Not touchy.
Oh, come on, just a little.
No.
What is all this?
Well, we have a chicken peltrazzini. No touch. We have a peach melba. And we have a zucchini puccini.
Okay. Now set the trap.
Oui.
And the fan?
I plug in the fan. Nowhere will she escape the fragrance of my delicious zucchini puccini. Mwah!
When you're deep in water, the best thing to do is shut your mouth.
Jack is up a tower. The wind is bending it down toward the ground. The devilish little demons below are trying to leap aboard. He's lost little Frida. He's lost his oar. He's about to lose his skin, and he's starting to lose his cool. In fact, he's getting a little despondent when he notices something is glowing at his feet.
What the heck?
He cautiously reaches down and picks up
St. Seymour's thigh bone? Little Frida left it. I almost get killed several times just so she can complete her bone collection, and she leaves this stupid bone behind?
Jack is so disgusted he's about to pitch it over the side when he realizes the tower is tilting so far over, the pile of squirming Rakshasas are again starting to climb aboard.
Good grief!
The only weapon he has is that bone, and so, as he raises it over his head, ready to bash the first little devil that gets within reach, the bone suddenly ignites into one tremendous white light that blinds not only those little devils, but also Jack. In fact, he staggers back, loses his grip on the parapet, and topples head first. Right into that swarm of Rakshasas. But what is Mojo up to back in Inverness? Ah, he's playing the piano.
Mojo, I hear you almost caught one of them thieving varmints.
Yeah, I almost had him when he dove into the hedge.
He escaped into the maze?
He did.
You didn't go in after him?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how'd you get out?
I got into the center and was sitting there when the ground raised up and someone pushed out a plate of cookies.
Cookies?
Yeah. You know, when I almost had him, he let out a sort of a whoop or a shriek. Or maybe with some foreign cuss words.
Yeah?
Yeah, sounded like...
You sure?
Yeah, something like...
I only know one varmint who'd say something like... Don't tell me he's back.
Now, let's get back to Jack. He's just toppled off the tower, tumbling over and over while still gripping St. Seymour's glowing thigh bone. The swarm of little devils below scatter in all directions, snarling and hissing, but giving him a wide berth, that's for sure. When Jack finally stops rolling and sits up, there's not a beady little eye nor tail twitcher to be seen.
Huh?
The cold desert sand he's sitting upon is feeling strangely damp. My God, I hope he hasn't wet himself.
Is that them or me? Wait a minute. This isn't sand. It's water.
The once rolling hills of sand are now enormous waves that crash down upon him as he flails about, gripping the bone with one hand and trying to swim with the other.
Good grief.
And to make it even worse, he notices there are strange, menacing shadows swimming in the depths beneath, slowly circling ever closer.
Oh, God. I should have known that King of the Rakshasas was not going to make this easy.
But now the sea is becoming more violent, as though the King of the Rakshasas was becoming even more furious that Jack has escaped everything he's thrown at him. And so the king throws even more, as the sea howls and lightning flashes and the waves sweep over Jack while he tries to keep his head above it all.
Excuse me, Chief.
Yes, ma'am.
It appears the Madama has devoured the plates of chicken peltrazzini and zucchini puccini, but alas, she did not come out.
Did she like the peach, Melba?
She licked the plate clean, but she is still in there.
Can you make cannolis?
Hey, can I make a cannolis? My mother came from the heart of a canola country.
This is gonna work.
But won't the Madama simply carry off the plate, cannolis and all?
You're gonna reel her in.
Are you asking me to put fish hooks in the cannolis?
No, we're not that desperate.
Oh, aren't we?
The wind howls, the lightning flashes, the waves crash over Jack as he bobs about, at times holding the bone aloft like a glowing torch, at other times dipping it in the water to keep the big-teethed creatures at bay. When he holds the bone aloft, it seems to calm the sea around him, but then the demon sharks start to swarm in on him from beneath. But as Jack plunges the bone down beneath the surface to drive the creatures away, which does work, by the way, the storm unleashes again with even greater fury. Well, obviously Jack is getting a bit tired of all this, so he clamps the bone between his teeth. He not only swims freely, but also his whole body is glowing from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. Finally, the water's calm. The creatures vanish, and the night turns into day. Off in the distance, Jack sees someone approaching. Over the surface of the calm sea, he hears a familiar sound.
Is that Mojo's piano?
Mojo. I hope you don't mind my saying this.
No, go right ahead.
I have noticed the way you play. At times it seems you are uncertain where you are going or how you are even going to get there.
Sometimes that's true.
It's as though you play from moment to moment.
Moment to moment. Sounds nice.
Yes. At times your playing is so mesmerizing. You are a Yudu man, a man who knows the art of magic. Is that not so?
Mainly. What I know is what to stay away from.
You are too modest. I see how you concentrate when you play. I wonder if you are not weaving a spell.
I don't think of it as a spell. When you do that, you gotta think about the consequences. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Sometimes I'm just putting a little light around someone to help keep them safe.
Ah, yes, of course. Well, I will not disturb you. Play on, my friend.
Off in the distance, Jack sees someone approaching. At first, he appears to be standing on top of the water, but as he draws near, Jack can see he's poling a raft.
Well, how does his pole reach to the bottom of the ocean? I can stand up. It's not deep at all.
And as Jack stands there, waist-deep in the water, he recalls the last time he saw the old ferryman.
He was the king of the Rakshasas.
Jack hides the trusty thigh bone behind him and casually waves to the man on the raft.
Ayo-ho. Yo, taxi.
The ferryman glides up to him.
So, where were you?
The ferryman reaches into his pocket, takes out a folded note, and hands it to Jack.
What's this?
The ferryman smiles. It's such a warm, friendly smile that Jack simply smiles back. But when he smiles, he suddenly glows. Not as bright as when he held the bone between his teeth, but still pretty impressive.
Well, let's see what the note says.
I'm okay. It was you they wanted. I hope you still have St. Seymour's bone. Oh boy, I'd sure hate to have to go through all that again. The ferryman will take you back to the door. Hang on to St. Seymour. She'll come in handy. Bye, Jacko.
Well, I guess wherever she floated off to, she had a safe landing. Okay, home, James.
And so the ferryman takes up his pole and off they go, skimming across the waters until, up ahead, Jack sees a door hovering above the calm sea. They glide up to the door. Jack nods to the ferryman, steps off the raft, and back into the fourth tower of Inverness.